Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey folks, this is Drew. Just so you know, we recorded this episode last week because we were all going to go away for the July 4th holiday. But I wanted to note that for me and Roth and everyone else as a distraction, we wanted to say one very, very important thing, which is fuck the Supreme Court. Okay, enjoy the show.
We're back. We're back. It's a distraction. I'm Drew. That's Roth. How you doing, Roth?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Good. And hey, what? It's the week of July 4th. Happy 4th, Roth.
Happy 4th to you, man. Hey, look, I made you this hot dog, and it's got all of your favorite fixins on it. Here you go.
You know what I did? This will post past 4th of July, so they will have exploded already. But I was at the beach a week ago or a couple weeks ago, and they had a nice big package of fireworks at the grocery store because I was in a state where they sell that shit at the grocery store. And I was like, boosh, and I grabbed it right away, and those things are going off because we have not set off proper fireworks here in like maybe like 5 years or something. Like usually like you get like the fucking candy ass sparkles and something. That don't mean shit.
No, you want something that's gonna upset the dog?
Yeah. No, I want something that blows up real good. I want a fucking cherry. I want to like lose a finger. I want JPP shit.
I was going to say like 5 years is basically like that. We now know the refractory period for like a defensive lineman that, you know, blew off part of his hand. It takes 5 years to forget that that's a risk. And then you're just sort of like, well, I don't fucking know, man. It's got like, it's a M something.
No. I remember that about JPP every time I see him. I'm like, oh yeah. He's the cab driver from Total Recall now. I remember now. Totally.
He's going to grind you up.
In honor.
Salute to Benny, by the way. Love
that's it. That's right. Benny. Benny's my name. Hey, Benny. Screw you.
That's right.
Now, Benny. Now. In honor of the 4th of July.
In honor of the 4th of July.
In honor of the 4th of July. David Roth, a girly man.
Oh, we're back. We did.
By the way, my kids, since we're completely off the rails already, my kids started reciting the opening of the podcast at the dinner table because they hear it. They hear it from the other room because when I talk, you can hear it from fucking Mars. Like my wife like rolls her eyes every time. And so like my daughter was trying. She was like, she got the we're back. And she's like, I'm Drew. That's Rod. And I'm like, Roth. And
yeah, it's like, me.
And she's like,
what's up, Rod?
And this is the traction. And I'm like, no, this is, and like, I'm teaching her the lines, even though like, who gives a shit? I didn't even mean for that to be, I didn't even script it.
That's good parenting though. That the idea of being like, look, if you want to own your old dad here at the dinner table, like put a little bit of fucking respect on it.
No. They weren't even trying to roast me. They were just trying to like get it right. And I was like, It's not necessary. Like whether or not you get into Brown is not going to be dependent on you being able to recite the intro to your old man's podcast.
Or like know the actual name of the co-host of it. Like my dad does a podcast with, I think it's Rod Roddy from The Price is Right. They just talk about how much things are worth.
Rod Roddy in the fucking sparkling green sequin jackets and all.
They don't make them like that anymore.
They don't. In honor of the 4th of July, David Roth, this week's episode featuring just you and me, it's going to be a reluctant celebration of America, the country you live in.
Be for yourself, man. Nothing reluctant going on over here.
So I'm going to ask you what you like about this country, and you can't go into joke mode. So you can't be like, oh, I love the U.S. Senate. We'd love to see the U.S. Senate. Like, you can't
do
that.
We do love to see them.
That's right.
But we can't do it. And I got to do it in my own voice, not the B minus James Austin Johnson imitation. That
That's
I
right. We could do it entirely in Arnold voices, which yeah. I mean, the views.
Well, I love California more than anything.
Yeah.
So what is good about the U.S. of A. Roth? What do you like about this country?
There's a lot of stuff about it that I don't think any other country is nutty enough to pull off. Like, I just think that there's I like how many different types of things are right next to each other and the extent to which they overlap. I mean, obviously, there's not all of the countries like that, but like, I don't know. I found myself more and more delighted every now and then. I'll find out about. Remember McQuaid telling me about this after his Texas road trip and stuff, where he's like, you know, there's a whole bunch of like perfectly recreated German towns in Texas for some reason. And I like that shit. I love it. I think like other countries don't have as much stuff like that. Like Italians eat Italian food for dinner every night. Like we're like absolutely like as much as like some of the country detests everything that I'm talking about right now. We're just like in sicko mode. Everything's happening all the time from all over the world. I think that's neat.
Yeah, there's no like America town in Florence. And
right.
If there is, it's a hostel and nobody wants to go.
Right.
There.
It is you like I mean? Confined like it to it is a, literally it is a TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
And that is like as soon as you leave it, you have left that distrito.
Well, that's the thing is that we can actually talk about what we like about America in terms of subcategories. So food is an obvious one, right? Because and look, I'm gonna set aside the material and existential costs of the fact that we live in a land of plenty in the Western world, but we do.
Yeah.
I live better than monarchs who existed like barely, like maybe a little more than a century ago, perhaps even less. Like fucking, I don't know, King Edward or whoever the last one before Elizabeth was, they didn't have like chapstick. And they couldn't like.
And just, it showed, brother. Woo.
Yeah, yeah. They couldn't like just go get a hamburger whenever they felt like it. Like I can just like if I have a small amount of money on me and like not like I don't need like $100 to eat well. Like if I have like a 20, I can go out and I can eat like a fucking god. It's yeah. really, really like Popeyes and shit. Delicious.
Yeah. I will say also that just to be fair to King Edward, if he had eaten a hamburger as readily as you could eat a hamburger, he would have died from having eaten a hamburger. Like if there was like a pickle slice on it, he would have collapsed into a pile of quivering goo.
Well, because also he would have been a royal who had that sort of like just that painful fetish for restraint. So he would have eaten something delicious and just would have been dreadful. Yeah.
Is there vinegar on this? I'm not allowed to eat that.
Yeah, it's appalling. Just appalling.
My family's allergic to butter.
Yeah.
That's not true. That's the only thing they could eat. They would just eat the whole
thing. The low-end food is good. The mid-end food, like you can go to any town now and you will find Hipster Avenue and you'll be able to go get duck fat fries wherever you want. Like if you're like, man, I really want to eat at like the restaurant that's on the fucking Bear. There are like 5,000 restaurants like that. No problem. Whatsoever. And then the high-end food is good, too. Good-ass seafood, good-ass steaks, wherever you want them.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, there's definitely regions that are whack, obviously. We don't need to go too in-depth. I think it would be rude to talk about Indiana without having Billy on the podcast. But
there's no good food in Indiana. Okay.
But you know, it's the exception that proves the rule, right?
Right. I mean, you can go get like a milkshake at Sonic, and that would be good. But like, you're not going to make a pilgrimage to Indianapolis to eat the famous fucking strawberry preserves burger that they have or whatever the fuck.
there's the steakhouse that all the NFL writers go to that's like famous for its cocktail.
Yeah, but
shrimp.
that's when they all get drunk. I remember Dom writing about that for Deadspin. Like here he got to hang out, like he got to go to the place where everyone gets drunk with Jerry, and Jerry buys everyone drinks, and then they like maybe one trade results out of it. But like 50,000 hypothetical ones do, which is always fun.
Yeah, like the Johnny Walker OmniCorp LLC is floated for the year because of Jerry's purchases there that night. Yeah, I mean, but I think this is the thing with like America that I've sort of come around to is that like as like wasteful and embarrassing and backwards as it can be and stuff like that, like it's the only home I've ever known. And I love stuff about it. I think it's like better than it was when I was a kid. It's a more interesting place, you know? And I think that this is it's sort of the bit where like, I'm not going to compare living in the United States as a United States citizen to being a Mets fan for very long, but I am going to briefly make that comparison.
You were saying, I'm not going to do it. And I was like, yes, you are. You're about to do it right now. It's
what you say right before you do something.
Yep.
But in this case, like you have to care enough to get mad, you know, like if you don't, like there's no sense in getting upset about like what a carnival of cruelty and stupidity are like popular culture and government are, unless you want them to be better. Like if I didn't care, I'd just fucking leave, you know, like, I mean, America is everybody else's problem. That's another thing that you maybe don't necessarily love about it. But like, I want the country to be good. I don't want to live anywhere else. Like, I don't want to, you know, be any other sort of way than this. Like, I like all this shit.
Well, that's right. Cause if I was going to leave here, brother, I would have left by now.
Yeah.
Like, Lord knows I have both the ability and the work situation where I could have fucked off and lived in Denmark if I had, but I don't want to live in fucking Denmark. I don't. Like,
yeah. No. I mean, I feel like it would be, there's a part of me that thinks it would be kind of tight, but also like, again, I don't know. I've lived in the same apartment for like 20 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just sort of, I don't like moving, and I like the things that I like, and I like being able to find them where I can find them.
Because my kids grew up essentially during the Trump administration, like their formative years of their childhood were during the Trump administration. And so, you know, when we talk about the country at the dinner table, you know, my daughter who's 17, you know, she's disaffected. She's like, this country sucks. It blows. And I'm like, well, look, you live here and like, it's got some good shit going for it. It needs some work, you know, like, but you got to think about like, okay, it's better to stay here and want to make it better. And whether or not you and I are doing that, I kind of think we are, because we vote right? Like we give money to the correct causes. We started by far the exemplary media business entity of this century.
That's, many are calling it that. Yes.
I'm calling it that.
Whatever. I'm going to be modest about it. But yeah, I think we did all right. But it's the thing. I mean, all of it is just sort of, this is the part of getting middle-aged that's a part of getting into your middle age that's a drag, is realizing like we're not, I don't think we're actively making it worse. I don't think that there's very much that a person can do one way or the other, but I think, you know, so you try to be kind and, you know, live right and do right by other people, and just, you know, that's the impact you get to make on the earth. You don't, like, I don't, you're not gonna have a fucking library named after us somewhere, but it's, that's okay. Like, I think that you can, whatever, you can be a good American. You can try to live a good life here and generally succeed in doing it. Like, I, you know, I'm going to be mad about any of that.
Well, you are culpable just sort of with the softly damning fact of existing. Like, if you drive a car, and I drive a car, I own not one car, but two. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But you don't drive them at the same time.
I don't. Well, I mean, if my wife has to go, you know, buy groceries.
Well, that's her, though. That goes on her ledger. That's not yours. I mean, if you look at the stats.
So, like, yeah, and like, we used disposable diapers, you know, we buy milk and beef from cattle farms that are polluting the environment with farts. And like, you know, we do all of the wasteful consumer things that a lot of other people do.
Yeah.
Because like, I want to do the thing where, you know, because the fallback, and it's the correct one, is to say, okay, well, all the emissions are caused by 70% of the world's companies, and like, we have to take down those companies. And so, like, putting responsibility on the individual and hoping that everybody just voluntarily decides to have a zero footprint lifestyle where they don't do anything, like, it's not reasonable. Like, it has to start at the top. Like, you have to go after the top.
Well, that's, the whole country fucks you up by trying to make it seem like it's your fault whenever anything bad happens to you. And sometimes it's your fault when something bad happens to you, and sometimes an overwhelming majority of the time, you do not have options due to things that structurally or institutionally are really badly broken. You know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, you buying beef is one of those things where it's like, I mean, whatever. I don't. And I don't think that like adds anything to, you know, the back of my baseball card that's not on yours. Like, it's the bigger problem is that like those cows are going to be eating, shitting and farting no matter what we do.
That's true. Oh, by the way, I drove by a pasture the other day, and all the cows were lying down and just chilling. And I had never seen, I always see the cows standing up because, like, ha ha, you know, they can't cow tipping, like they can't lie down. They can. Then they were all just chilling. And I was like,
they love it.
Hey, man, these cows are maxing and relaxing. That is nice. So that's another thing on the ledger. That
we got the
America's
chillest got. Cows.
The most relaxed cows. Got good cities.
The United Kingdom could do anything with that? No. All their cows are like, oh, duh.
We got New York. All right.
Pretty good.
We got New Orleans. That's good.
One of the best.
I like Los Angeles. I know some people don't like Los Angeles, but that's their problem.
Not liking Los Angeles is 80s shit. You need to get over yourself.
You know what? That's entirely right. Like it's like if you want to burnish like your Andrew Dice Clay cred, then you're like Los Angeles is fucking weird. And
all
stupid.
They do there is eat sushi and you know they got a convertible and it's like you know that's all like a fucking beat comedy routine. Sushi's delicious. Convertibles rule. Like calm
yeah,
down.
And like if you think LA's all posers and shit, like that's one boulevard. Like in like the rest is like normal people, you know, like,
yeah.
And you can like and like you can make fun of like the Moonchild shit and all that. Like, but like I've been to like the gluten-free avocado toast emporium like for breakfast in LA and the food was delicious. So I'm like, I'm OK. I can do the healthy eating shit. We got some healthy eating. We got
unhealthy eating as well.
We got good music. We don't have as good a rock scene as England does, but that's been the case now since the advent of rock and roll. So I can't really dig that, but the rock still pretty good rock, better hip hop than everybody else. Like, I don't think like, I'm going to be problematic and say, I don't think German hip hop is probably at the level that our hip hop is.
I have to disagree. Have you listened to Der Schultz man?
Yeah.
He's really good. He's ill. Der Schultz man is extremely ill. Whatever. We've gotten a lot of stuff right. It's a sort of, you know, there's a sort of not even like a resignation or whatever. You just have to like look for the things that you like and learn to look past the things you don't like. It's like with anything else. Like if you can't figure a way to ignore stuff that sucks, you're just going to be upset all the time. And it doesn't mean that you ignore it and like remove it entirely from your worldview and pretend it doesn't exist. I just can't let myself get like too hung up on traffic.
Well, the other thing, and this is really important, and this is the heart of it, is that the things that are wrong are evident and spoken of. And that is not the case in, let's say, Russia. You know, that is not the place. That is not the case in a lot of other countries. And I know this because, I mean, it's just a fact. And I've lived here and I've spouted off as much as I've liked, all I like, and get paid for it. And other people do too. And I don't go to jail for it. Even though when Trump got elected, I kind of thought I was going to go to jail. I turned
off. For your
off.
Posts? Like yeah, you thought I, that you would get too epic and get
I literally, I turned off. Someone told me to do this. I think it was Tim Marchman. I turned Face ID off of my phone because Marchman was like, dude, the feds can unlock your phone with your face. That's legal, but they can't make you give your passcode. I have lived by that ever since, even though Trump isn't president anymore. Another good thing about America, Trump's not president anymore.
He's doing amazing, though. Look at him. He's flourishing out there. He put a post up on his little fucking Tinker Toy social media network that they built for him today at like 6:58 a.m. That was like...
Was he like, oh...
He was complaining that Fox only chooses the bad pictures of him.
Really?
Yeah, he rules, man. Like, I mean, obviously, I hope that he falls into a canyon... and dies.
Or is imploded in a submersible.
Sure, that would be great too. It's not a nice thing to say about somebody, but you can't get banned for it the way you can on Twitter. I want nothing but bad things to happen to him, but there is something really funny about the him still being out there back to like doing like 2013 Trump posts where he's just like in the middle of the night really mad about something that Bette Midler said to him at like the opening of Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, taking that he thought a shit was rude. Just being like, Fox News, very disrespectful. I almost betted Sally Kellerman. They don't use any pieces of that. That's very bad.
You make him the, I'm very lowbrow. Like guy from The Simpsons, the kind of like all-purpose dirtbag dude.
Yeah, Raphael from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Hey, lady, this is not what I do, all right? I play keyboards. Like, that's what I want. The other thing... is that like, you know, I talk to people who are not from here. Like I have neighbors who are not from here and they come here from war-torn countries. And like, you know, I'll be like, I'll be like, man, you're like, you know, everything sucks. Like, ah, fuck Joe Manchin and all that stuff. And they'll be like, man, I don't know what the fuck you're complaining about. Because my country's been in a civil war for like 250 years. So I'm pretty happy to be here.
And that's not even going to pretend that, like, you know, we're a war-torn country relative to actual war-torn countries. Like, but
no, yeah. we're so lacking in war that we have to like make up for it with like pretend war with football. And then we have to like shoot up malls because we're like, look, you know, we just... There's not enough violence on the soil.
I don't think we have to shoot up malls. I don't think that's necessary.
No, I think that's another thing about what's great about America. Like, you know, you go to the mall and you never know. Like, it's a little bit dangerous. It's a little
time
bit...
to take a break. We're going to take a little break. We're going to take a break and Drew's going to get his mind right. And then we're gonna...
You know, so I don't get canceled. I just want to note that, like, I didn't mean that. I don't like it. I am anti-gun, virulently so, or viciously so. But yes, okay, fine. We should take a break. And before we do, I should note that this podcast is sponsored by the Franklin Mint's limited edition President Trump chess set. Each figurine in the Trump chess set, including Trump as each king, Melania as each queen, and Rudy Giuliani as each pawn, is made by hand and of 80% fine pewterite. A set of this quality would normally retail for $5.99, but is available to you now for 4 easy installments of $39.99 and includes a fine chamois valued at $299. Call 1-800-UDA-ROOK to buy yours today. That's 1-800-UDAROOK. We'll be right back.
Fucking guy. Terrific.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
We are back with our special 4th of July week podcast. But
a celebration of America.
Yeah, we're going to... Oh, by the way, to that end, I went to my son's 5th grade graduation ceremony. It's called promotion. It's called, they don't call it graduation because they know it's bullshit, right? But for the ceremony, prior to the ceremony, we all had to stand up and give the Pledge of Allegiance. And I have not done that since I was in grade school 40 years ago.
You remember the words though?
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember. Right. It's ludicrous. It's so fucking stupid. And my kids know it's stupid. But I stood up and everyone stood up and they did it because it's just like, it's rote. It's like how you sing the anthem at baseball games, even though you don't really give a shit. Except my daughter and her friends, they stayed seated. So they was like,
nice. Hell yeah.
That was their brief moment.
Mahmoud Abdul Rauf lifestyle. We respect that.
We're going to get to the audio fun bag in just a moment. But like first, our producer Eric Silver wants to chime in.
This will be necessary, I'm sure. All right,
fine. Eric, you want your little 5 minutes. Go ahead, Eric.
You can't see it. I have a gun up to the voicemails.
We're not. This is
you. Actually, you have given us the finger guns.
I'm folding it up against the voicemails.
And you've done it sideways like a gat. Very, very edgy.
Just start talking, Eric. It's good. He's going to keep going unless you do.
No, I love it. You know I love it. First things first, based off of last week's episode of this one, Defector and the Distraction are good products, and I want to affirm that, and I would love to call for a moratorium on saying that this is a goofy, silly, little doohickey talk about bullshit show, because it's a good talk about bullshit show.
Okay.
And I just want to say, I'm calling for it, I'm posing it.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to listen to you, but well, all right, what's the other thing you have to say?
The other thing I want to say is I have a really short story that I wanted to share in regards to being kept humble, much like your children do for you, Drew, but also like, where is the weirdest thing that someone might recognize you is what we talked about last week with Alex.
Oh, that's right. Right, from the podcast with Alex. Yes, of course.
So the I got a message from my friend who basically every year for the last 2 years has gone to this like island. It's not a tropical island, but it's like a hangout during spring break type of island with like 30 of
her
friends.
Is it Staten Island?
It's not Staten Island. It's somewhere in between.
South Padre Island?
I don't remember exactly what it is, but basically it's like she goes away with like 30 of her friends because she's in her mid-20s.
Holy shit, was it Kale and Kaler?
Yeah, it's Kale and Kaler. Defector Zone. Anyway, go ahead.
So basically, so she's away for like 7-10 days, and she sends me a message at 2:30 in the morning. She's like, hey, Dispatch from the Island. Was talking to people about digital media, and I mentioned Defector as being an inspiring example of how maybe there is another way, TM. And this guy was like, do you know the Distraction? And it was like 2 a.m, and he was very high. And she says, oh yeah, my friend produces it. And then he says, whoa, you know Brandon Grugel? And
whoa,
I'm like,
the Brandon Grugel? Whoa.
That's tough too, because that's a coin flip. It's like
a coin flip.
Basically, like it was either gonna be the right answer or it was gonna be the other guy. And then you
that's
know
great.
We love Brandon Grugel's work, you know, he's wonderful. But,
yeah, I don't want Brandon to be like, hey, you guys are making me feel like a nobody. Like,
no, Brandon. It was Brandon does great work in it, and I love working with him in Multitude, but it's just like you've heard my voice before.
Yeah,
like I've introduced it, but I guess people love it when Drew says Brandon Grugel so much. It like jumped to the front of the line of this high man's brain.
It's a much better thing for a high guy to say, too, just to very slowly be like, Brandon Grugel? You know, like a tone of glazed awe that you can only achieve at, like, gone off those 200 milligrams at 2 a.m. So I'm glad of that. I'm sorry that you didn't get your flowers in that moment, but yeah.
It's okay. The great thing is I know this guy is going to hear this, and it's like, yes, I know. I know what happened to you on the island. It was reported on. But it was certainly keeping me humble. I just wanted to share that.
I enjoy that story, and I'm glad we tolerated you for the whole 5 minutes that you told it. Never do that again. Time for our guy of the week. Every week we remember an athlete of yore. Not a Hall of Famer necessarily, but just a guy who makes you think, hey, I remember that guy.
Hey.
You ready to remember a guy, Roth?
Very much.
In honor of Why Your Team Sucks, which begins at the end of this month, it's Steve Stenstrom. You remember Steve Stenstrom?
I do remember Steve Stenstrom, Stanford's own.
Yeah.
Not a good NFL quarterback, but I think one of those guys that probably got to wear a baseball hat for like 8 or 10 years on a sideline and threw maybe 50, 60 passes as an NFL quarterback. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. He was, because I was thinking about him because I was doing the Bears. Why Your Team Sucks. So that's the first one. And by the way, if you're listening, I'm going to give you a little exclusive tip that you can start submitting shit to Why Your Team Sucks right now. That's WYTS@defector.com. Put the team name in the subject heading, please, so I can read it. But anyway,
a matter of telling Drew why your team sucks.
Yeah, because then I'm going through all the Bears quarterbacks. And of course, the Bears quarterbacks history is just a fiesta of guys like Moses Moreno and like guys. I think when I think of guys, like I tend to think of guys like this first. So like you got Peter Tom Willis, Craig Krenzel, Shane Matthews, just a remarkable parade.
They've been disrupting the game. Like they basically like don't think that quarterback is an important position. And I think if you were to ask them, they'd be like, yeah, it matters. But then you have to look at what they've done during the entire time that we've been alive, and they have never behaved as if the position was important.
Well, look, they're building around the finest rushing quarterback that perhaps the game has ever known. He can't pass, but by God, they're going to run the football so well and win four games a year, and it's going to be real Bear football. That's so cool.
Yep. I feel like this is the sort of thing where if Darnell Mooney catches, let's say 30 passes for 275 yards this year, that will move him up to fifth all-time in the Chicago Bears' all-time receiving annals. And that'll, I think, reflect well on Landry Fields' legacy as well.
Hey, let's open up the audio fund.
Not Landry Fields. That's not his name.
Landry Jones?
No, their quarterback.
Oh, you mean Justin Fields?
Justin Fields.
Yeah, way to go, fuckhead. You couldn't remember Landry Justin Fields' former goddamn
Nick.
Name.
Ugh, and that's going to be in the podcast, too, because every
time. Yeah, we're keeping that. Eric, keep it. By
Landry
God.
Fields. He's a GM of the Atlanta Hawks now.
All right, let's listen to some of your voicemails. These have been edited for coherence.
No one's allowed to talk to me about the mistake I just made.
That's all I'm going to do for the rest of your life. I mean, it's fine. You'll be all right. Let's hear some of these voicemails, folks. These are from the Panera inbox. Let's go. The Panera Fresh Take hotline.
That smells like bread. Open up the bread bowl, Eric.
Hey, this is Mark from Oakland. A number of years ago, a big group of friends and I had a long night out in D.C. that included lots of drinking and eating dozens of oysters. I had to catch an early flight to St. Louis the next morning, and as I was about to board the plane, I got a bunch of texts asking if I was okay. Turns out everyone else in our group had come down with severe food poisoning. I felt fine at the moment, but the question is, would you board a 3-hour flight knowing that there's a high likelihood of an impending poop disaster? I personally ended up boarding the flight and getting a case of the sweats, but was otherwise no worse for the wear.
Well, first of all, thank goodness.
What a daring escape. Just incredible. Roth, would you get on a plane knowing that doo-doo ass is coming for you?
I feel like in my younger days, I would have. I also can't imagine the idea of being like not taking the flight and just being like, I need to get this hotel room for another day because there's definitely a chance that I'm going to lose like 6 pounds over the next 24 hours. Like that. That would be probably the responsible choice. But I don't know. I mean, it's funny. Like I never used to think about any of this stuff. I used to eat like a disgusting caveman idiot until like into my 30s and stuff. And so the idea of like being responsible about any of this stuff or even like taking precautions has not necessarily ever been a move that I've made. But that would be the smart thing is to like, yeah, bear it in mind, eat accordingly, whatever. But if you're out with your buddies and you're partying, like who's going to how are you going to not eat oysters?
You and I ate oysters.
You and I ate oysters. So we ate oysters together, which was nice, before we went to the Normal Gossip live
show. We did.
We
locked arms and fed them to each other, and it was romantic.
It was like a Lady and the Tramp thing. It was great. But it's just two tramps. But we also got this delicious but extremely like just food from the 1920s thing at the Grand Central Oyster Bar, which is the oyster pan roast.
Yes.
Now, I've had that before in the past, and I like it. It is Jurassic American cuisine. It is basically like 8 ounces of heavy cream with a big piece of toast in it, some paprika, and a bunch of oysters, and some, you know, oyster broth or whatever.
And it was fucking good, man.
It tastes amazing. But the idea of me just being like, let me just get on the, like, high-dose lacto experience right before I go sit inside and sweat it out with like 1500 strangers for a while. You could argue that that was an irresponsible choice on my part, but I feel like life's for the living. And that's how I feel about this approach.
It was the right move. I love all that boss tweed shit. Like, yep. I love it. I read lots of books about turn of the century America. And if someone's like, oh, and they went to Delmonico's and they had Cote de Boeuf and oyster pan roast and like, and they just list all these like old asparagus like hollandaise and all this old
gout fuel. Like just all the food that used to be good.
I want all that shit. Sounds great. So the pan roast is good. And by the way, to answer the question, you could cut my fucking head off and I would still board the plane. Like I'm not missing the flight. Like I've gotten on flights drunk. I've gotten on flights definitely with nausea. I flew with COVID. I did not mean to fly with COVID, but I definitely knew I was not feeling well. But I wasn't going to be like, you know what? Let me pay the $1,000 change fee across five times over for my entire family so that I don't fly home and then sleep at the airport. Like, I'm not going to fucking do that. You fucking nuts.
It's another one of those things where even if you did want to make a good decision, structurally, they're making it hard for you. Now, that applies more to you than it does to the person who called in, because that's like, I don't know. You can't really blame structural forces for you eating 26 oysters the night before you have to get on a flight. But
yeah, and if I have to shit on the flight, like, honestly, that's more comfortable than pissing on a flight, because, like, a lot of times I get the bulkhead bathroom where I'm like, I have to do, like, involuntary limbo because my head only fits at one side of the ceiling in the bathroom. So I'm like I'm sitting there, like, my head is like 9 feet away from my dick because my dick has to be over the fucking toilet because I don't fit in airplane bathrooms. So if
I'm picturing one of those things, as I often do when you're describing physical stuff you're doing, one of those things that whips around outside of used car dealerships where they're blown by air.
That's right.
Trying to fit one of those into like a mini fridge. It's just not, it's not fair to the device.
Let's get to the next question. Eric, let's hear the voicemail.
Oh, hello, this is a message for David Roth. This is Jeff Reardon. I'm not dead. Thanks, I'll hang up and listen.
I just want to note that, like, it took me a while. Like, I kind of thought maybe it's actually Jeff Reardon. Probably not actually Jeff
Reardon. No, it would be great if it were Jeff. First of all, Defector regrets the error. Jeff Reardon is alive. I don't know that he's doing well. I hope he's doing well. He had some issues. I think it was like a sort of a medication response type thing that made him make some bad decisions. But he's with us. I had Jeff Reardon confused with Bruce Sutter, and that's a compliment. Because yeah. I do believe that Bruce Sutter is passed. I should probably check that to make sure.
if he isn't dead, you're going to get another voicemail.
But the reason I got him confused is that they were both extremely good. Yes, Bruce Sutter has passed. He died in October of 2022. RIP in peace to Bruce Sutter. But it is like, it's a, because they were both really good closers. It's not like I got him mixed up with some fucking asshole.
And I bet they both have just fantastic voting records, just absolutely illustrious voting.
But they both good beards, like, it's just whatever. I you know, I don't want to know about their politics necessarily, but Jeff, yeah, call me, bud.
So far every caller we've gotten sounds like they're putting on a voice when they're calling in a bomb threat, so let's see if that happens again with our third voicemail. Let's go,
Jamie Eric. Gum, our third caller.
Oh, just a distraction. Hey, this is 29 Sunset calling with a fun bag question. There's a tweet that Locke did many years ago that I keep thinking about the most George Lucas-ass names in baseball. And originally it was about Jet Bandy, Yonder Alonso, and Jack Decker. I did a spin through Major League Baseball rosters, and I came up with some options for current day guys. Bruzgar Gratterall, Dane Dunning, Dalton Varsho, Jurickson Profar, Bryce Terang, Tanner Bibee. And, of course, the Orioles have three guys on their own, Austin Voth, Adley Rutschman, and Taron Vavra. I don't think I missed anybody, but who did I miss?
I just want to say quickly that I am going to link the tweet in the episode description of this episode, but also there is a Vice article so that Roth could catalog everything written by David Roth from December 20th, 2016. And there is the most horrifying banner ad, which seems to be put in by Vice, that says, FYI, this story is over 5 years old.
Yeah, they put that at the top of everything.
That sucks.
Old.
I hate that.
Well, it's good because otherwise people would be like, this motherfucker thinks Jet Bandy's still in the majors. And I know that Jet Bandy's no longer in the majors. I don't feel great about it, but he's not. He's probably coaching somewhere now. Those were really good names. Taron Vavra is incredible. I think. One of the other ones that I mentioned, as I think is an honorable mention in my post, was Nuke Logan, who was briefly an outfielder for the Tigers and the Nats. And like, that is what I think of as being like sort of your latter day George Lucas stuff. Cause like Han Solo is like ridiculous, but it is a cool name. It was just when he got like sort of more on his George Lucas shit. Like there's, I believe I link in that story to the tale of him.
Talked about this before. Darth Icky.
Yeah. So this is, but yeah, like it's, I like a sort of a compound name that it sounds like he mostly made up because he just was thinking of some syllables, possibly while like in a bath, like a huge claw-footed bathtub in his manse that he lives in. Adley Rutschman definitely works. Adley Rutschman also has that sort of like someone who was in JFK's brain trust, you know, like someone who like had a feud with Robert McNamara over like some foreign policy decisions. But yeah, Taron Vavra definitely works. I'm trying to think of what the other ones in there. Dane Dunning for sure has that, because it's like there's an element of the kind of like weird like Zane Grey Western shit that like is clearly in Lucas's head. There's a lot of names like that in, I think, in like hockey now. There's a lot of, you know, like Skyler Von Zoom type names in that sport.
Well, also you have to go by, like, so for example, one of a Met, Brandon Nimmo. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna use the Brandon part, but if there's this dude named Nimmo, like,
yeah,
that's a Star Wars name.
Yeah, like Nimmo himself would be like, probably knowing George Lucas, like it would be like some sort of weird stereotype, and he'd be like trying to give you a usurious loan. But that's the George Lucas difference.
Like he'd be an alien that has fish scales,
yeah,
like or something like that. We also I was looking at Kettle Marty of,
yes,
of Arizona. So just the kettle part, because it's K-E-T-E-L, like the bashing together of just random sort of like almost a Utah name, but not quite.
Yeah. Like Kettle is a Scandinavian first name. Like I've met a Kettle in my life, but then, yeah, he was not like a second baseman center field type that was born in South America. It is.
No. Should we do another one? Let's do another one.
What the hell? It's freaking July 4th.
All right, let's do it.
Hi, this is Aaron Hayden. I wanted to talk about your introduction to the Remember a Guy segment. I don't understand why you say not a Hall of Famer necessarily. That's like the opposite. It's necessarily not a Hall of Famer. Never makes sense to me. Thanks.
You gonna take that edit, Drew? You're just going to sit there and listen to this guy critique your language like that?
Well, I'm a big boy, so I can take it. Well, because I think some Hall of Famers, like the Hall of, like not every Hall of Famer is like, oh my God, yeah, that guy. Like Tommy McDonald is in the NFL Hall of Fame. Nobody remembers who the fuck Tommy McDonald was. Like he was like a random wideout for the Niners, like in the 50s or some shit like
that. Yeah, that's the difference with Hall of Fames in general. I think it is true that like guys are necessarily not dudes, or at the very least that like, you know, this is something I get asked about on Twitter sometimes. I always enjoy it where I just get asked for like to make a ruling where they're sort of like, I was arguing with my friends about Albert Bell, and I'm like, go on. But that is, I always enjoy like people that have dude portions of their career sort of awash in a broader swath of guy. You got to decide whether to round up or down. But the Baseball Hall of Fame has a lot of, especially due to when the Veterans Committee was just sort of starting out, where guys were just like putting their homies in. Like dudes that are like the equivalent of a, you know, like Adam Kennedy type career, like just a guy who played for like 10 seasons and was pretty good on some winning teams. Like the dudes that did that in the 30s, like some of those guys have plaques.
Yeah, Paul Zimmerman said he wanted to put Dick Vermeil into the hall because Dick Vermeil sent him wine. Like that's. And I remember Tony Kornheiser on the radio saying that Art Monk definitely didn't belong in the Hall of Fame because he was mean to the media and wouldn't talk to them. Like he thought that was a perfectly good reason.
Yeah.
So like, and that's only changed like maybe this century, if it's changed. Like,
oh yeah. There's still guys that are like, I mean, this is the thing with like having the press vote on this and stuff. The reason that like Dick Allen, like in the Hall of Fame, was that like, they just didn't like that he was like, that he didn't like them. And every one of the guys that was like covering baseball in the 1970s were like, this man was rude, he blew cigarette smoke in my face, I don't care about anything else that he did.
And the other thing is that like I think that's behind a lot of the roid exclusion too, because I think the guys that are excluding Bonds, it's really not because Bonds did roids, it's because he was a cock,
he's a prick. And, yeah,
yeah, so that's really why. So it's like steroids are like a nice convenient moral excuse to be like, well, the kids, you know, well, how many minor leaguers didn't make the majors because Barry Bonds hit 73 fucking like home runs?
You're doing a lot of work to explain about the fact that like you've been mad that Rafael Palmeiro flirted with your wife for 30 years. That's really what I think the issue is here. Can I one question that we got from that Eric just put in there in the guy discussion? I just want to get on the record with this. It's not important. He asked, is Devin Hester a guy or is he a dude? And to me, Devin Hester should be in the Hall of Fame. I think he whipped ass. I think he was a revolutionary sort of talent at a position that, again, like doesn't sort of get enough respect. Also,
well, it doesn't exist.
I don't care who's in the Hall of Fame. I say let them all in. It's nothing to me.
Right, like, right, right. I'm on that side too. I remember we had Lauren Tyson on the podcast, and remember the guy was Hall of Famer Grant Fuhr, because
yeah,
because I haven't given a shit about hockey.
Hockey,
in
nobody
years.
Knows. Yeah,
yeah. So. It's okay. It's a fine line. I am not. I'm gonna keep the intro the way it is. Not like, not just to be like, fuck you, man. It's perfect. It's perfectly well written. But like, I remember
Bill Simmons stet all. That's how we live our lives here.
Oh, because the other thing is that speaking of why your team sucks, I remember Tommy Craggs, who was my boss at the time, said that the introduction to why your team sucks every preview is like grammatically wrong and shitty. It was, some people are fans of X team, but many, many more people are not fans of that team. This defector preview is for those in the latter group. Read all the previews here. Like, he thought it was like off sort of in terms of syntax. And that's when I was like, yeah, but it, like, we've been doing it for so long. Fuck it. So,
yeah. You got to print the legend at that point.
Yeah. 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 It doesn't have to be correct. It does have to just roll off the page.
And though, I feel like the sentiment is definitely there. I mean, you know, I think you understand who those are for.
Well, also because I would follow up the rest of the, because the rest of the post would be like, hey, you, here's why your team sucks. So I'm talking to those fans. So it kind of is for the fans of that team.
Yeah.
But whatever, who gives a shit? Eric Silver is our producer, in
That's
case
right.
you hadn't guessed. The legendary Brandon Grugel, who maybe you'll meet one day if you're lucky, is our editor. Our theme song is by Kirk Hamilton. Ads and production services are by Multitude. And you can subscribe to Defector.com right now. It's your patriotic duty, motherfucker. Just go to Defector.com and hit that subscribe button. You can also email us at distraction@defector.com or even call us the way our voicemailers did this week at 909-726-3720 and leave a message. That's 909-PANERA-0.
Mm-hmm.
Roth,
well said.
I hope you had a happy 4th, and I hope everyone has a great vacation, and we will see you next week.
That's right. He's right.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.